And after the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking that he was in their company, they traveled for a day. Then they began looking for him amongst their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting amongst the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all of these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. These are thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify them in thy truth, for thy word is eternal truth. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it was time for the Passover. And every year, the Jewish community made their way to the Passover. It was the custom of the day, as we read in this text. And Jesus and his family once again made this trip to the Passover. I doubt if there was a variance in this. And this was their plan, to make it to the Passover every year. And Jesus, of course, went along with them each time, and particularly at this time when he reached 12 years of age. He went to the Passover every year, but especially at this time because he was of that age when you entered into some special classes, probably. And so every year they went to Jerusalem, and there was no deviation. This was the plan that the family was making. And that, as we know, the Passover pointed to the release of the Jewish people from captivity in Egypt under Pharaoh. And we know also that they were released under the efforts of Moses, as Moses was led by God. And Moses is a type of Christ in the Old Testament. And Moses' life points to Jesus as the one who leads us out of captivity into the promised land of faith. And all of this in the Old Testament points to the fact that Jesus was the promised Messiah. And it pointed also to the freedom that we receive when we come to know Christ in a personal way as a gift given to us, because Jesus became the Passover Lamb and laid down his life for us. And as the Bible says, "And if Christ shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall be absolutely, totally free indeed." Well, we don't know a whole lot about Jesus' life from the time he was brought to the temple at the from his birth and his circumcision until he began his ministry. When the Holy Spirit came upon him and in the form of a dove, and when God spoke to him and to others, saying that this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We don't know too much about Jesus during those growing up years. And so when it comes to Jesus' spiritual education, we can certainly believe and trust that Joseph and Mary backed him up in the spiritual education that he should have. And we can be certain that Jesus' family could have found it easy to stay home and not attend the Passover. They had to travel quite a distance to go to the Passover. And it certainly would be easier in many ways if didn't have this plan, if they did not have this plan. Well, Mary and Joseph, I think they were raising a normal, healthy boy, a normal, healthy child. I believe he was typical in every way. I think Jesus was very much a normal child, a normal boy, yet without sin. Now, it's interesting when you read some of the things that were written about Jesus that are outside of the scripture. Some of these writers are writing some interesting and entertaining things about Jesus. Like one writer writes that he entertained his friends by making birds disappear and appear again. I'm not so sure that that's true, but it might be. But at least it's no biblical truth that we're looking at. And if he did this kind of thing, he was just having fun with the neighborhood boys and girls. He might have used what is called sleight of hand rather than any powers he had given by his heavenly Father to be used as he was in the flesh. And when he came to the temple at age 12, we could say, as we would say today, he was definitely a preteener. Although we didn't know those classifications of preteen and teen and adolescence in the first years that I started taking psychology courses, we didn't know those classifications. We know them now because that's what they have done through psychology. You know, sometimes psychology messes us up royally. So here in this instance, he was definitely a preteen, a child, a preteen boy. Then it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, that Jesus advanced in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. You know, it's very difficult for me to understand how God in the flesh could advance in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, because he is God. And I have a difficulty thinking about this fact. But it does say in the scriptures, in Hebrews, he learned obedience. He learned what it was like to be a human being. And I think I could be safe in saying that. He grew in the knowledge of what it would be like, the wisdom of what it would be like to be a human being. He grew mentally as a human being. And at an early age, he was acquainted with the scriptures. He read them, and he gained much wisdom and knowledge through this reading. He put what he knew from the scriptures into use in his everyday life. Now, it's interesting to me, if I can do this, that Abraham Lincoln was sort of like Jesus. Lincoln learned to read through the reading of the Bible, the King James Version of the Bible. And this reading of the King James Version of the Bible influenced Lincoln as a youngster and gave him wisdom and understanding of the things of God. So when you study the speeches of Lincoln, these speeches reflect his understanding of the King James Version of the Bible. And they reflect what he learned from the King James Version of the Bible. And so he, like Jesus, grew through the reading of the scriptures. And Jesus, in a human way, experienced what it would be like to read the scriptures and to learn from them. So he grew in wisdom. He grew in his mental abilities. His wisdom is seen in this text because he asked questions of the teachers in the temple. and questions that probably these teachers had been talking about and grappling over. It was hard for them to understand how this one 12-year-old boy could ask so many questions and perhaps confound all of these learned men, and then also to make comments on these things. I think it's a wonderful thing to see children who are asking questions about spiritual matters. It's a wonderful thing. They can too grow as Jesus grew in favor, in advancing in wisdom and in favor with God and man. Of course, Jesus grew physically. We can be certain that he was growing like any other 12-year-old. And boys of this age were especially invited to come to the Passover. At age 12, these boys entered into a special period of instruction by the local rabbis, sort of like confirmation today. They would all meet together with the rabbis to be instructed in the scripture and in the customs of the Jewish religion. Therefore, Jesus grew in favor with God. I think Jesus was on the move, so to speak. As Jesus' life continued, I think his prayer times increased. And as Jesus approached the end of his life on this earth, we know that he was in special communication with the Heavenly Father. He's the eternal God-man, and he communicated with his Heavenly Father. That was essential for Jesus, because Satan was continually after him to go out on his own and spoil our redemption. It's hard to know and explain the spiritual growth of Jesus. It is difficult for us to understand the nature of Jesus and really who he was and what he has given up for us when he came to this earth that first Christmas. Then lastly, Jesus grew in favor with man. I think he grew socially, and his interest in the salvation of others grew immensely. I've done extensive counseling with students and others who are plainly shy for some reason. I can always remember one boy that I had in a confirmation interview, asked him a question, and I wonder if I didn't wait for 5 minutes for an answer. And finally he said, "What was that question again?" He was definitely shy. Well, he was living with some parents that were having difficulties and problems and so on, and it was hard for him to communicate. I think Jesus' vital relationship with his Heavenly Father caused Jesus to grow as man in these instances. Also, of course, we must remember, he was God in the flesh. So Jesus' primary relationship and friendship was in his growing up in his years, in his ministry, was Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. He spent a lot of time here in this home. He also spent a lot of time with the outcasts of society. I think Jesus and men and women and teens who would be today's alcoholics, as an example, he would spend time with them. Like last night, we saw on the television, some newsman had captured some fellow living in a crawl space under a building in these days. And, you know, it makes you feel empty because you are sitting there in a house we could supply beds for 15 people. So you think, man, Lord, thank you for what we have. And then it makes a person, at least me, feel a little guilty that I don't give a whole lot of money to these organizations. So that's a confession, I guess. He was concerned about the sick and those like Lazarus who climbed the tree in order to see Jesus. And he was obedient to his parents, even though they didn't understand him. And, I wonder if I ever did understand the children in my home and my own sons. They knew who he was. And it says she treasured them or pondered them in her heart, kept them in her heart. We can be certain that Jesus' his parents trusted him. Now, they assumed that he was among friends and relatives. Of course, you could say, now, can't relatives be friends here? Of course, friends and relatives. And when they found out he was not amongst these relatives and friends, they went back to find him. And after 3 days of searching, they never thought of looking for him in the temple. I always think, well, when we're looking for our kids, do we go to the church to look for them? Probably not. But there might be somebody that might come. And his response was, you know what? Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Now, wouldn't it be something that when our children are absent from us and we can't find them and we don't know where they're at, we would find them at church, asking questions and studying with someone? Well, they could find Jean over here every once in a while. They could ask you a few questions, couldn't they? We can answer questions. Or they would be fine. My goodness, he's over at Pastor Gray's again. What on earth are we going to do with him? That would be something. That would be, they're welcome anytime. See if they can ask a question that I can't answer, which is very much true. I'm sure there's going to be something like that. Or if they were not, got really quiet in their room, they were not listening to certain kinds of music, or watching TV, or playing video games, and they laid their Super Mario and whatever else aside, and were reading the Bible? Wouldn't that be something? And when their parents ask, what on earth are you doing? And our kids would say, know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? That would be a change. We could do that for grandkids too now, can't we? I think most students and most older people, they know the commercials on TV better than they know verses out of the Bible. Our minds are filled with the silly comedy that we see on TV. And nowadays, when some are under financial pinch, they're looking for good, solid, clean comedy. And they can't find it, so they navigate towards those channels on the TV that supply them with a vulgar type of comedy. So we need ourselves as parents, as grandparents, to be challenged by God, as Jesus shows in his life. Know ye not, grandkids? Know ye not, children? Know ye not the names of whatever child we're talking to? I must be about my Father's business? Or we could say, we must be about my Father's business. Because this is the plan here. This is what we do. This is it. This is what Jesus' family did when Jesus grew up. Every year, they went to the Feast of the Passover. Every day we do this. Every week we do this. Every month we do this. When there's something we want, this is our plan. All of us needs to grow, and that requires discipline. It requires also a desire to grow spiritually. It requires that. So, let's get to it. What's our plan? Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we are part of this family of God, and it is our plan, our desire to worship you, to learn from you, and to be your witnesses and your disciples. Heavenly Father, it requires a heart that's wanting to do this and a desire to do this. And we have to confess we don't always have that desire and that our hearts are not always tuned to what you would want us to be tuned to. And so whether we are a child, whether we're a grandparent or a parent, an aunt, an uncle, or whatever, we can say, know ye not that I must be, we must be, about my Father's business. So help us, Heavenly Father, to go in this direction. In Jesus' name, amen. Then we get to sing 334 in the Majesty. The Family of God.